Okay, it's good to be with y'all today, but first of all, I'm going to turn on my mic.
There you go. Good to be with y'all. It's, I think, officially going to be a cold for a while, and but we can get through it because the Lord's going to help us to get through anything because He is for us, not against us. Okay, it's our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace and Your love, Your plan. There's everything about You is just absolutely wonderful. And we are here hungry for Your Word, so we pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate on it, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, going to put the board on over here. I'm sorry, I'm not sneezing now. I was sneezing, but I might have to clear my throat or something a little bit. I hope y'all don't mind. Okay, this is lesson 68, and it is Veterans Day. Did anybody watch anything about Veterans Day today? I saw our president go through it, and I thought he did a good job. So, anyway, it's not over yet. So, all those veterans out there, we want to take our hat off to them for all the service that they provided for us. And, excuse me, we just hope that they will continue to be safe. Some places it's not as safe in battle as it is in some places in our country. So, anyhow, okay, we're going to start here with principles. That's where we left off last time. I think we had just two of them, but I'm going to start with number one and go down through these, and we'll start right here. Principle number one. The believer who is distracted by either people problems, thought problems, or system problems follow both procedure and analogy related to seduction. So we don't want to be distracted by any of these things. We want to keep our name, and I mean our focus on the Lord. But those who are distracted by these things follow the procedure and the analogy related to seduction. That's what most of this is about seduction. Number two, for example, seduction is preceded by lust or desire. And lust or desire indicates lack of contentment with one's status quo. There's, you know, we all go through, seems like, periods of life. And sometimes things are good. Sometimes they're really good. Sometimes they're not good. Sometimes they're not good at all. And so there's a lot of people who allow their lust and their desire for lust to indicate the lack of contentment with one's status quo. Now, if one of the main things for us, if we are growing spiritually, is that we have contentment. And contentment, you don't have to have everything going right when there is contentment, because it's very seldom when things do go right. But if you live in a neighborhood and your house is the smallest house, and you wish you had a bigger and better house, all those type of things, that means you're not contentment, and that means that you're not satisfied with how you live. And yet, if you went to another neighborhood, maybe the house that you lived in, that you live in then, would be so much better than the housing that other people have. It just means that you're not content, and that's not good. We should be content with whatever God gives us, and just thank Him for that. And but they lack the contentment with one's status quo. The status quo is just your way of living. And everybody, not everybody, but I mean most people would like to have a better status quo. But if it's rooted, it's taken away from their contentment, then they have a bigger problem than just their contentment being the status quo, and they never think it's right. So anyway, point number three. Therefore, believers are unhappy or miserable inside the cosmic system and are susceptible to being deceived or led astray or seduced. So if you're not content, you're not happy. And if you're not happy, you're just, according to this, and we know this is true, that we are either happy or unhappy. And if you're unhappy, you're usually miserable. And you are, for sure, in the cosmic system. That's Satan's power system there. And are susceptible to being deceived. A lot of people are trying to make you see things their way, and want to They want to get you on their side, to where they're never happy and they're always complaining. So, therefore, believers are unhappy, are miserable inside the cosmic system, and are susceptible to being deceived. A lot of people will try to sell you some goods, and it's no good. And led astray, these are people who are liars and they are trying to get your money, and are seduced. And a lot of people who are not content with their lives, they'll fall for being seduced. We'll go into that in just a moment. Number four, seduction is not possible without getting involved. The best way to stay away from seduction is just don't pay any attention to it. Don't pay any attention to somebody that is trying to get you involved with seduction. And that's the easiest way to do it. And you don't have to be walking on eggshells, afraid you're going to hurt their feelings. You just tell them right out, I'm not going to get involved with that. You go haunt somebody else. But there's always people out there, and they have a lot of times they're trying to sell you something, or they're trying to make themselves look better to you, or bigger, or stronger, or wherever else. And then there's a sexual seduction, and that's probably going on more than these others. But just don't get involved in them. If they start talking about it, don't ask them any questions. Don't do anything. Say, I don't want to hear about that. Okay. Number five. No one is seduced apart from his own volition and consent. In other words, if someone is trying to seduce you and they're making headway, and you start to fall for what they're saying, then you can't say, well, I couldn't help it. Well, because apart from our own volition and consent to seduction, and therefore the excuse of being deceived is not valid. A lot of people will say, well, they kind of talked me into it. I didn't know what I was getting into, and I wasn't trying to get involved with anything. And that's a big lie. They use their volition to get involved, and now it's going south and they're trying to get out of it. And so there's no excuse for being, say, they deceived me, because that is not valid, because you have your own volition and it's up to you to make the right decisions on these things. Point number six, whether deceived or not, you wanted to be seduced and you were seduced. You asked for it. Now that's the plain truth right there. A lot of people want to get into things to have something different, or have something that is alluring, something that happens that is just not the regular day and night, and it just goes on and on. You want to get something that is different, something that is something that you would like to get into, and but there's always the excuses afterward. Well, I didn't know this, I didn't know that. They're liars. They didn't know it, and they wanted to get into it. Verse 7. I'm sorry, I'm so used to saying verses instead of numbers. I do that sometimes. Therefore, ignorance is never an excuse because people follow their volition, whether in arrogance or cognizance. So if you, when they say they were ignorant of what was really going on, is never an excuse because people use their volition. And there's you, nobody can make that, those decisions for you. You can do it. And their volition isn't going to be an excuse, whether you say you, what you did was in arrogance or cognizance means that you did know it. Y'all have been around people, I'm sure, that are always trying to get out of trouble, and they say it's on somebody else's fault and so forth. We have there was a president that was this type of person, and that all the things, the horrible things that he did, and yet he never did anything wrong. And he would always put it off on someone else, or he would have an excuse or whatever. And there are thousands, millions of people that's the way they operate. And we'll have it in the rest of these numbers. We're going to show you how to really knock that in the head when they start trying to have leeway with you. So ignorance is never an excuse because people follow their volition. Okay, number 8. Seduction is not possible unless one has enormous priorities. Hence, the importance of assigning number one priority to Bible doctrine. That is the way that you can not get all get into this stuff that is not pleasing to God. So again, seduction is not possible unless one has erroneous priorities. And that means erroneous means that they're not what they appear to be. Hence, the importance of assigning number one priority in your life to Bible doctrine. And when you're taking in Bible doctrine, it makes it about 100 times harder for you to talk yourself to go in there where everybody's having fun, that they want to do this and they want to do that. When you're reading Bible doctrine, you're going to stay away from that because God guards us from that. And yet we still have volition. And if we want to say, oh, well, I want to at least try it, well, you're just a dumb bum and you'll wish that you did it. Number 9. Seduction is not possible apart from I've never had trouble with this word before. Predilection, I guess is how you spell it.
Predilection,
that's what it is. It's the E. Predilection. Okay, seduction is not possible apart from predilection to arrogance. A predilection means that you always go kind of in that direction. And it's not possible apart from predilection to arrogance. When people are deceived and seducted, they are preoccupied with themselves. Now, when somebody is trying to seduce you, a lot of times they're going to butter you up and they're going to say a flattery and, oh, you're so great and all these other things. But they have a reason for doing that. They're going to get your money or whatever else they are interested in. But, excuse me, the predilection to arrogance is what's going to really hurt them. When people are deceived and seduced, they are preoccupied with themselves. They're not thinking about anybody else. They're just thinking about themselves. If it's a man and he has a wife and he has children and everything's going fine, and yet he has a predilection to arrogance, and arrogance is always part of this seduction, and he's thinking only about himself. And many times the wife finds out and the children find out, and it's just a big, horrible thing. So again, they are preoccupied with themselves, for lust is preoccupation with self. Lust is arrogance. Don't you think that the people who get involved in lust, what is this black guy that was a singer, and he was, it was rap music. He was extremely wealthy, and yet he had a lot of things going on that were against the law. And I saw one part on watching TV when they were showing him that they were going to arrest him. And he had a woman, it was at a hotel, and I guess he knew this woman, and he knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and he grabbed her by the hair and drug her out of the room and started kicking her and kicking her. And that's when you know that he does what everybody tries to do if they're seduced or they're doing something that they ought to not do, is he said, "Oh no, that wasn't a big deal. They try to get out of it, but the best way to handle it is don't ever get involved in it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk to people who are trying to use you as a guinea pig for their own self." And the people who are arrogant, they believe the false things they say about how good looking they are, or how much money they have, or any of that. Forget about all that. You just keep putting your nose in the Bible, and if you're studying the Bible doctrine, it's going to take care of it. So they are preoccupied with themselves, for lust is preoccupation with self. Lust is arrogance. Number 11. Consequently, flattery is the key to seduction. That's what I was talking about. If somebody wants to talk to you, I mean, get you into this seduction phase, especially the women know how to do it. I mean, they can tell you, "Oh, look how nice you look tonight," and "How tall are you? Oh, you're that tall? I didn't know you were that tall. I didn't know you were that good looking either. I mean, I never really got close enough to tell." And the whole time you're sitting there, "Oh hell, tell me some more. What else you got?" That's the only way I can explain it to you, because that's how it happens. And the people that are so stupid, they're really arrogant, and they really believe all this nonsense. So, consequently, flattery is the key to seduction, and there are many kinds of flattery which deceive. Verbal, that's why I just was making a little skit there to show you that's how they do it verbally. And these people are experts at this. They know exactly how to reel you in, and they are doing it in order for whatever they want to get out of it. No telling what it is. But you need to just ignore it. So there are many kinds of flattery which deceive, and that's what they're trying to do, is deceive you. And that, of course, goes the other way. There are men that tell these women, "Oh, it's a beautiful dress, and have you lost some weight? Oh, is that a new hairdo?" And they just go on, and the lady is just, "Oh, she's so happy about it." But it's not real. They want something, and they try to get it because you are just soaking in all the lies that they're saying. Verbal, the maximum attention given to a person. And that's when kind of the things that I'm talking about. It could not necessarily be looks. It could be, "I didn't know you had that much money. Oh, you have a yacht too? Well, nobody ever told me you had a yacht. Are you going to ask me onto your boat?" No, I'm just sickening. The maximum attention given to a person. Deference apart from respect. There is a big difference between deference and having respect. And if you are a leader, if you are a person that is a good leader, then you're never going to get these crosswise, because people will try to use you, and you're not used because you are a person that has abilities, especially if you're in you have people working for you or whatever it may be, and you require respect from these people. Here's another one. Hypocrisy and fornication without love. Fornication without love, which is a complex of sins. I would say out of this whole group, that's what this, when they're trying to seduce you, that's probably the one that happens the most. And it's too bad. And then number 12, seduction implies arrogance in motivation and unfaithfulness to the plan of God. Well, that's true. Seduction implies arrogance, and because you have to be arrogant to fall for what they're selling. And in motivation and unfaithfulness to the plan of God. And that is true, but you're unfaithful to so many other people. You know, when you go off in something that you know is not right, and yet you want to get all those accolades and somebody tell you how great you are, but it always turns around, and you're going to get a short end of the stick. And it's not only unfaithful to the plan of God, but you're unfaithful to your husband or to your wife or to your children. You're unfaithful to your friends. You're unfaithful to the church and maybe at work or whatever it is. But when you have arrogance, you don't care about any of those people. You just want to go through this, and God is going to have to show you that you have to pay for that many times. Number 13, the one who is seduced spiritually has encountered or entered Cosmic One. Remember the Cosmic One? There's a Cosmic One and Cosmic Two. Cosmic One is the arrogance complex. And I'm connecting arrogance with this, with the seduction. And that's, if you're not arrogant, you probably won't get involved in it. But if you are arrogant, you're going to be up to your eyeballs in it. So the one who is seduced spiritually has entered the Cosmic One, and that's the arrogance complex, and his motivation. And he has entered Cosmic Two also. There's only two of these, and he's in both of them because in the arrogance complex, he thinks that he's better than anybody else. He doesn't even think that God is on his level, and it gets worse. But then there is also, he has entered Cosmic 2, and that's the hatred complex. In Cosmic 1, you are just insufferable because you are so arrogant. But in Cosmic 2, you turn everything around and you hate God, you hate everybody and everything. And you're bitter. So that's what Cosmic 2 does for you. Hatred complex as his inevitable way of life. How would you like to be in the arrogance complex and the hatred complex at the same time? You'd probably wind up hating yourself when you figured out what was going on. And these people rarely ever humble themselves. They're always talking, putting the whatever problem or they may have, they always put it on somebody else. They never take it themselves. Here's the last one, number 14. Therefore, seduction implies an erroneous perspective of life. It's people who live these kind of lives thinking that they're special because people tell them they're special and they're trying to use them. So the erroneous perspective of life, as well as the lack of capacity for life. And here's some more. We're talking about capacity here. Again, in verse number 14, therefore seduction implies an erroneous perspective of life. That's what you have when you think that you can do things that you know are not right, but the people are so good at what they do, they have already changed your perspective of life to where it's erroneous. It's not true. It is not. Not only is it not true, it is completely wrong. God would hate that. So, therefore, seduction implies the erroneous perspective of life as well as the lack of capacity for life. You're so enhanced or so thinking so much about yourself, nobody else matters. And that's a lack of capacity for life and for love. That's the next one. You have no capacity for love. You love yourself. And happiness as well. The lack of capacity for life, love, and happiness. You are a miserable creature. And you may get to a point to where you think, well, something is not going right here. And you ratchet it up instead of being humble. And it can get even worse. Obviously, then, daily positive volition towards Bible doctrine is a great defense against spiritual seduction. Not only spiritual seduction, just about anything you can think of is by the daily positive volition towards Bible doctrine. It is the only thing that is going to make any sense to you and humble you to where you can get where you ought to be. And God the Holy Spirit, if you are humble and you ask for help, He is the one that's going to make sure that you, when you're going to get back in doctrine. And of course, you have to acknowledge your sin or sins, but that's done right away. And then you need to get into doctrine and let it go into your soul and get away from these monsters that are trying to take care of you. I think in terms of the... in Mexico, the cartels, have you seen how they... it's horrible in Mexico right now. They just had a guy that was... I think he was a mayor. And he was a really good guy. And he says, I'm not going to put up with them. And they took him and cut his head off. And there was another guy that they killed right out in the... with their family watching. These are the kind of things that it could go to. This is in the extreme, but it is lack of capacity for life and love and happiness and so forth. But Bible doctrine is what's going to get you out of those things. Excuse me. And the spiritual fornication of reversionism. All of those things are really like a fantasy. You have high hopes that everything is going to get better and it's going to be new and it's going to be so fun and all that. And that's Satan's lies. Now we move from seduction to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the divine dynasphere. So we are changing gears right here. We were in 1 John 2:26. Now we're in 1 John 2:27. And as for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Now that's a long verse. And I have a extended verse to help you pick up the things along the way that you need to understand this whole thing about what he's talking about. So here it is. This is the extended verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Furthermore, as for you, the anointing, and then you see up here it says, of the Holy Spirit. People, you know, if people were talking about anointing and you were there, you know what in this particular thing here, it's the Holy Spirit, which is anointing. And yet they don't know have any clue what it is. So here we go. Furthermore, as for you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which you have received from Him... The Him is Christ. Now, if I was you, I would have my Bible open and putting these things that I have added to make it easier for you to study or to show someone what's really going on here. What you have received from Him, and that the Him is Christ, and who resides in you. Does Christ reside in you? Does Christ Holy Spirit reside in you? Does God the Father reside in you? So it certainly does. And we need to remember that. Furthermore, you do not have need of anyone be teaching you. Now, I have that read for a reason, because I'll show you how that comes out in just a moment. But as His anointing keeps teaching you concerning all things, and this is taken care of by a Bible doctrine, He keeps teaching you this one, but as His anointing keeps teaching you concerning all things of the Bible, and it comes from a Bible doctrine, and it, again, is Bible doctrine, is true doctrine. There's no lies in it. And furthermore, it is not a lie, and it is not false. As it, doctrine, has taught you to keep residing in it. Keep residing in what? That's the question. Keep residing in it, and that is the divine dynasphere. That's what we have at the bottom. We want to stay in that divine dynasphere. It is a place that everybody should be and stay, but none of us stays because we have volition and we can do anything we want to, and sometimes we get in a mess. So that just gives you more information. When you're reading something that has a lot of text here, when it says, "And as for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have you and Him and abides," and you start getting kind of wobbly on who is that talking about. That's why I put these extended verses in there. Okay. Note, all learning of doctrine must be in the filling of the Holy Spirit. I know that all of you know that. I don't know if those who are online knows that. The filling of the Holy Spirit, they might not know what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. If you're a believer and you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, it means that you have sinned, you acknowledge that sin, God forgave it, and now you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're right on back on track. R.B. Thiem Jr. says, the anyone refers to false teachers. Remember I said something about anyone? Look over here. Furthermore, you don't have need that anyone be teaching you. Well, John taught these people, and he's saying you don't need anyone to be teaching you. And there were so many false teachers, and you had the ones that were constantly going just the opposite, saying just the opposite than what John was telling his flock. And this is why John, in verse 27, was saying, furthermore, you do not have need that anyone be teaching you. And I've had friends, and you probably had friends in the past also, and you may have been like-minded, but somebody gets on the internet and they find something they think is really neat, and they start listening to this person's teaching, and the next thing you know, they're way, way out of being biblical. So that's what he's saying. He didn't want anyone teaching them because, this is what it says here, anyone refers to false teachers. I would be just like John. If any of you, any people who are part of Country Bible Church, and they started listening to false teachers, I would, if I found out, I'd have a talk to them and see if they would be amenable to actually listen. And if they started explaining certain things that are not biblical, I would hope that I would know enough about whatever it is that I could put them back in on the straight and narrow. If they had if they were humble enough to recognize that they were wrong. And this has happened. I wouldn't say a whole lot, but I know of people who were part of our congregation And the next thing I know, they're saying things that I know are wrong. Try to explain to them how it's right, but you got to let them go if that's what they want to do. And so that's why he said, don't listen to people who are false teachers, because you may think you know more than you do, and you may be captured by these people, and it may not turn out well. So the pastor teachers must be filled with the Spirit as they study and when they communicate. So when I am studying, you can ask Carrie, I'm like a zombie or something when I'm studying, because I am so focused. Carrie might come in and said, honey, the house is on fire. I said, okay, I'll look at it after a while. I'll look at it, because I'm not, when you're really concentrating, someone comes in and says something, you hear words, but you're focusing on this. And that's why I am when I'm studying, and as well as communicating. And that's what is so important. That there's so many people that want to do it their way, and they want to be different. And all we need to do is keep on taking in the Word, and the Word is going to fill your brain, your soul, everything with what it needs to know. Because that is the motor that keeps us going. That's how important taking in God's Word is. Eventually, it even meant to be commissioned. Now, we were up here talking about the anointing. What I did there is I'm talking about this anointing. We were talking about just a moment ago about John didn't want anyone referring or getting teaching because they were false teachers. Eventually, it even meant to be commissioned. And we're talking about up here where it says the anointing. You see, at the top is no anointing. Two lines down, you have another anointing. But this is explaining what that anointing is. Hence, it refers to what the person is anointed with, and that is its use in this verse, the one that we have, verse 27. It is a reference to God the Holy Spirit, who is the power of the divine dynasphere, and the church age believer is anointed with the Holy Spirit. That is what it's about. And I'll find it in a moment. Anyway, first thing it says here is it is a reference to God the Holy Spirit, who is the power of the divine dynasphere. Now, Jesus Christ was the power of the divine dynasphere. And his whole time on earth, he was showing you and everyone that he would be able to... he's also the one that created the divine dynasphere. But he had the power to do these things, and the power of the Holy of the divine dynasphere. It says God the Holy Spirit is who is the power of the divine dynasphere. It is now, but Jesus Christ ascended. He's no longer on earth, and the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ's agent to follow, to go along, keep it going, the divine dynasphere. Am I communicating that right to where you can understand? Jesus Christ is the one that showed that when he got into all these horrible spots because they were trying to kill him and everything, he never used his power as the Son of God. He was just a man out there, and he was depending on the divine dynasphere, and then he had the Holy Spirit is the one who has the power of the divine dynasphere afterwards. And the church age believer is anointed with the Holy Spirit. So if anybody asks, okay, what does this verse mean when it says, furthermore, as for you, the anointing, and I put here, of the Holy Spirit, which you have received from Him, Christ. You see, Christ is the one who made this whole thing come together. And then the Holy Spirit is His agent. So, let's see where I am. The anointing of the Holy Spirit refers to the believer's initial contact with God, the Holy Spirit, and the original entrance into the divine dynasphere at the moment of faith in Christ. This is related right straight to us. It's explaining these things. I can go over once or go over twice, but this is just putting a little end on it here. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is receiving the Holy Spirit. To the believer's initial contact with God. So what is your initial contact with God? I mean, when did that happen? What was going on then? You believe the gospel. And so when that happened, the anointing of the Holy Spirit refers to the believer's initial contact with God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened when you believed the gospel. And the original entrance into the divine dynasphere at the moment of faith in Christ. So when you believe in Jesus Christ, first of all, that is your initial contact with God and the original entrance into the divine dynasphere, the moment of faith in Christ. Do you understand that now? All that happened at that one time, and it goes on, and it's the, remember where I showed you? See the top on the right? Anointing is there. The anointing of what? The Holy Spirit, which you have received. See, we received it from Him, Christ. And He puts that on the agent, which is the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm showing you here now, is that the anointing of the Holy Spirit refers to the believer's initial contact with God, the Holy Spirit. That is when it came to place. And the original entrance into the divine dynasphere at the moment of faith in Christ. Now, let's look at this. This is going to explain a little bit more of this. Originally, anointing meant what was rubbed in or spread on in the anointing. In other words, it wasn't talking about something that is, this is physical. This is something someone could watch. And so originally, that anointing meant what was rubbed in or spread on in anointing. Remember what I've said before? The kings, when they were going to be kings, they would be anointed and they would have a special oil and they kept it. It was very costly. And they would take the king and they would pour that oil on his head. And it would go down his face and all the way down there. And that was showing people that this person has been anointed. He is the anointed of God. They would then see him as the king, and they would give deference to him and obey him. All that has to do with what we're talking about here with anointing. Eventually, it even meant to be commissioned. So again, thinking about David when he was anointed, after a while, I'm not sure when this happened, but eventually it even meant to be commissioned. So David was certainly commissioned to be a king, all again because of this anointing. Hence, it refers to what the person is anointed with, and that is its use in this verse, the verse that we're looking at. It is a reference to God the Holy Spirit, who is the power of the divine dynasphere. And the church age believer is anointed with the Holy Spirit. And that's when we were commissioned as well. So God the Holy Spirit was never given until the church age. That's the big thing. There was no, excuse me, there was no Holy Spirit was ever given until the church age. In the Old Testament, they knew nothing about these things. And it's more specifically, when it says was given on the church age, that was the day of Pentecost. That's when the church age began. And that's when the Holy Spirit was given for the first time. And here's a few verses if you want to jot them down. CF there stands for confer. Confer with John 14 and verse 16 through 17 and verse 26. John 14, 16 through 17 and verse 26. It is the anointing or unction. Oh, well, I thought I could say it better than that. But let's see what I can do with that then.
It is the word?
So. Unction. That's how you say it.
It's like gumption, but
unction. I don't think people use it too much. But it is the anointing or unction of 1 John chapter 20, verse 2 and 20. 1 John 2, 20 and verse 27. So it is the anointing or unction of 1 John 2, 20 and verse 27. That refers to God the Holy Spirit. So that's very interesting. I thought that was very interesting because I always thought that I knew that they would pour it on people and would mean that they are special. And eventually it came to be mean commissioned. Just like an officer in the military has to have a commission. Well, they did that with kings and probably people lower down in the that would get that as well. At the same time, the Holy Spirit indwelt our body. Now, when I say at the same time, we were talking about this up here as the anointing and the down here it says the unction refers to God the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a quick question. What happened when we were anointed? We just looked at it up here. Right. It is reference to God, the Holy Spirit, who is the power of the divine dynasphere and the church age believer anointed with the Holy Spirit. So we are anointed with that. And the Holy Spirit is literally... where was that up here? Here it is. Furthermore, as for you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit... And he was commissioned, and he was the agent for Jesus Christ. And it says that which you have received from him, and the him is Christ who resides in you, who resides in us. Okay, let me get back down here. At the same time, when we were talking about these things happening, I'm showing you where other things happened as well. At the same time, the Holy Spirit indwelt our body. Gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do y'all remember what that is? Well, people online might not. I need to explain it to them real quick. At that time, the Holy Spirit, that time is talking about when the church age began, is the first time that the Holy Spirit indwelt our body. And not only did the Holy Spirit, but God the Son and God the Father also indwells our body. Also what happened at that time, we were given the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is where the Holy Spirit identified us with Jesus Christ. And that is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit has to do with. It means we can never be separate from from Jesus Christ. From all time, from now on, this identification with the Holy Spirit. And then we also have, at that same time, gave us a human spirit. These people who announce and say that they are Christians and they are not, they don't have a spirit. But once you believe the gospel, then you acquire a human spirit. And also gave us the filling of the Holy Spirit. All of these things, and there's many more things I could put there, but I'm just showing you, all of these things is when this happened. And if these are just words, if you can't explain what they are, or if they're really meaningful to you, like they are to me, then you're going to be able to be more stable if you are going, especially if you are in the spirit that you have, and you didn't even have a spirit before. Every believer receives all this and more from our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many more. In fact, there is around 40 different free gifts that are given to every believer by Him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you see where I say Him, and it is really put in there with bold. And where is it? Oh, yeah, here it is. You see on the second verse, second line here, which you have received from Him. Now, I put Christ here, and He resides in you. All these things are extra things that you can really just love the Lord more for all the things that He has done, and you get more information here. And you get down here, and the anyone is red, and that's because I knew I was going to see it down here. And John didn't like them teaching you. I don't like people who are part of the family of here at Country Bible Church, the ones that have left, and they did fall from for the lies, and they were being seduced. Nothing I can do about it, but just pray for them and wish them well. But that happens, and that's what this is talking about here. So I think I'm out of time here. We have not enough to go to the next thing. So that verse 27 was a long one too. So what I try to do, I could go through these and just spend 2 minutes or just read it to you or anything like that. But I want you to know these things and how you can apply those to other things in your spiritual life. And when you know the spiritual things that God has given to you, and they're all gifts. We never earned anything and will never earn anything as long as we are we can't give anything, or God doesn't owe us anything, and He gives us so many gifts. And that's what I want to help you see, because when you get in the spiritual realm, when you get especially to spiritual maturity, so many things have been coming into your mind, and you're understanding more and more, and what you're understanding is God. And you start to see all the things that He did for us in eternity past, and the things He's going to do for us in the past, and what He will do for right now when we have sinned and we acknowledge it, He takes that away. All these phenomenal things, and these are precious. I mean, when you understand those things, you're not worried. You're not worried about all the things that other people are. So that's why I go through here, and it might be kind of, I do the best I can, but this isn't real easy to teach. But I give it to you so that something will strike you and think, oh, I didn't know that. I need to know more about this or something. So anyway, it's time to close. Let's close. Heavenly Father, You are so wonderful in every way. I don't understand how anybody can profess to be a believer and not love You. You have commanded us to love You, but You didn't have to, because we love You anyway. You are so fantastic. There's so many things that we don't know still, and we come and we hear and we want to learn more of the Bible, and there's so much there. We have to just take it a bite at a time and just have nothing but glory and honor, and just can't wait for us to get home. And I'm not talking about our home here. I'm talking about our home in heaven. It's so phenomenal. So we would pray that you will take these things, and maybe if people understood everything, that's fine. But if they don't, they can go through it. And I think if they went slow enough, they would finally click. It's not easy, but it's worth it. So we thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.